Okay, maybe we can move ahead just since you've already talked about the types of love, but we can also just give a definite, not definition, but our idea. So from my perspective, the types of love could be, of course, there are several parts of it. There could be like a big taxonomy of love, and there has been, but I just want to touch from the above. So let's say from above we can see two types of love. One would be family, friends, and that would be platonic relationship. Or and then it would be romantic relationship, and then it also includes this special word called libido. I don't know if you know.
I heard about
It's
it.
yeah, it translates to sexual desire
Yeah.
and lust. So how, from your perspective, how different are they? And where is the line, or is there no line?
Well, if you search some websites, they have a very blurry line between those two lines, the content that exists on those websites. But overall, I think so far everything we know and everything we believe and everything sort of we've come to identify and separate this family and friends and libido and like these desires and relationships. It's also partially driven by historical elements and certain values that we have had throughout centuries. And that is why we also can see that some of those, sometimes this line gets blurred, though again, we don't necessarily accept it. And I think the reason we don't accept it because we have lived for millennia under this assumption and under these values that, you have your family, your friends, you have that group, you have a different relationship to them.
No, I mean, my question is more like just being how close to our, like how trustworthy. Like, which one would you trust first, you know? So I have known people, I have had many conversations with people that sometimes they are not as comfortable as their romantic partner than they would be with their, I don't know, best friends. Just like talking with them and like being
Yeah,
closer to
but from a
them.
trust perspective, I don't think you should, because what you're saying that how much you would trust them, yes, you would trust them, both of them. But nevertheless, you would always try to think logically as well. You first have to trust yourself and trust your instincts, and that's you start from there, and then you have then certain priority order, and then you have well, your romantic partner would be the second because that person is the closest to you on a daily basis, and then you know that person the most, you know what they are like, what they feel, what they think, and all these kind of things. Your family friends are a bit further, and then you have those, and then you have a wider audience, or sorry, you have Facebook, TikTok, and Twitter,
Instagram.
Instagram, yeah, and then you have the wider audience. But of course, I would say you have to trust your own instincts, your own knowledge, your own view of the world, your own approach, in a way, and then you go and onto trusting, the people around you, starting from in that order. And I think that order is simply due to proximity, if you look at it from like really practical perspective, as I said.
I think from my perspective, like the difference could be like, I don't know, in the second event that like not family, but when you are a, I don't know, girlfriend,
Yeah.
boyfriend, or husband or wife, just being you're in a romantic relation with someone, then you're kind of afraid to, I don't know, hurt them more than you would be afraid to hurt a friend, That's why you would feel insecure that you cannot be as open. Of course, if that relationship is as open as friends, as best friends, then that would be a perfect relationship. I think that's where people draw a line, that sometimes they're insecure that their romantic partner would not understand them as, and also they might hurt them. That's why they might hide things from them, and then they would be open to their friends then
But
more.
that heavily really depends on the dynamic of the relationship and what are the governing
I know.
rules in a way that within the relationship. So I totally agree with you. And those dynamics, those rules are, I think, also heavily influenced by the culture that you're in, by the environment and society that you're in. Like, I don't know, in Azerbaijan, let's say there are certain things that you don't necessarily would, that wouldn't be thought in terms of like a husband and a wife discussing between each other or expressing and things like this. So there's a cultural element as well.
And since we're talking about culture and then family love, my question would be, is it compulsory to give the love back? For example, you might not feel the same as the other person, and probably it's perfectly normal. You and XYZ, X person has a X person loves Y, but Y thinks of X as not so close to them. Is it okay not to love as the same back? Or is it, would it be an obligation that if somebody loves you, you have to love them back?
There's two sides. I would say there's two sides to this thing. First of all, is the, you know, feeling it in a way like naturally.
It could be like in a family perspective, for example, people who grow you up. I mean, how much obligated are you to give it back?
My personal opinion that you are not obligated at all, but coming from the perspective of compassion and empathy and not mercy, but like understanding the other person's situation, it can only come from that. And that's the only healthy reciprocal sort of relationship. Because if your parents kind of expect you to give them back and they always mention it or they always say it, I don't think that's necessarily healthy. I don't think that creates a healthy sort of relationship from kids, especially as they grow older. But rather creating an environment where the kids need to know that they will have their own life. They will have to be responsible for themselves. They are separate beings. And that's, I think, the highest sort of maturity of expression, of parent love, parental love expression, where you actually allow the child to build their own sort of life.
You're open, like you consider each other as equal. That would be more like you don't consider the other person as subordinate of you because you did something, then you are expecting something. It should be equal.
Exactly. But one of the reasons why we have had this hierarchical approach is again historical, potentially religious. Yeah. You know, father son relationship. Yeah, yeah, yeah. In for example, if you take Christian
patriarchal culture.
Patriarchal culture, but also. Religion has influenced a lot, and if you look at Christianity, for example, you have this father-son relationship, right? So there's the hierarchy is inherent, and I don't think hierarchy is a bad or a good thing. It's just a thing that was there, you know. And so over time, we also learn. Over time, we realize certain things. Over time, we evolve. We become more mature. We have more information, and so maybe 200 years ago, this discussion of this podcast would be different. I would be like, sir, what do you think of this? And then, you know.
Probably speaking Latin.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it wouldn't be a true anchor. Yeah. It would be potentially through getting people into something.
And then writing letters.
Exactly, letters to pigeons. Yes, through pigeons.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, if I ask myself the same
question. Or I ask you the same question.
Please ask me the same
question. Yes, what do you think, Rahul?
I think in any relationship, could be family, parental, friends, or romantic one, two things should be there. Communication, like transparent communication, being honest. Yeah. And like, let's say honest and transparency. So I think if you're honest and transparent, that there's a very less chance of miscommunication. Yeah. And when there is less miscommunication, then I don't think there's any problem with, you know, you're not really expecting the things because you have already talked it out. So I think in any relationship, because as you said, it's different for different people. The dynamics really differ in different situations. So I think for every situation, if people just respect each other, number one, number two, they're honest. And number three, they're transparent. What they want, why they want it, and how is it. And I think if two group of people or two people can talk it out, I think there wouldn't be even this question of being compulsory.
Yes, I agree.
So.
The transparency and openness and honesty is without it, it's difficult to have anything healthy really without it. If you keep lying to each
Yeah.
other, and if you keep you know,
So why do people, what do you think of, why do people do infidelity?
if
If this is the
do you
perfect,
really want to go there?
actually, maybe a few lines, not so much, maybe a few lines.
It's a really complex topic, partly because it's very difficult to have any general opinion on this. Of course, you would have
Yes,
a general
yes.
opinion if you follow a certain religious approaches, or religious
Yes.
dogmas, let's say. Then you would say,
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
infidelity is bad. But it's a really complex topic, just like a lot of things in our life. So it really depends on why it happened, what are the underlying causes. Was there something coming out that's not necessarily in control of a person who was unfaithful? Because
So when we talk this chemical process,
yes, chemical process, but also
because we do have hormones, I don't think we can leave out this conversation that our hormones, I mean, they make us, you know.
there's more psychological elements at play here than I would say hormones. Because hormones, you could, okay, like you feel it, you feel the urge, you can somehow, you're
Take it
conscious
out.
about it, right? That it's a hormone and but psychological elements, sometimes they're unconscious and they are hidden inside your brain that you don't have access to. And they are there because you have been exposed to certain things when you were a child, or you have lived in a dynamic around your family and society where different rules existed. And so these are hidden things, hidden biases or hidden elements in your subconscious that potentially bring to being unfaithful or being and also you have to also realize that people change over time. So for humans to assume that if you have some feeling or relationship with some person that is going to be eternal for forever. It's a very weird assumption.
Well, I have a fun fact for you. When you marry in Hindu traditions, then you are marrying for 7 lives. So,
True. And as much as I respect the Hindu tradition, I am not sure if I will be able to even see the second life. So,
will
yeah,
so.
okay. So if you will,
We have an
then
afterlife.
I hope that in the afterlife I come back as a dog.
My dog, and then we can
Yeah,
go for a walk.
exactly. Yeah, that sounds a bit weird. I would like to come back as your dog.
You say it out loud, yeah, but we feel the emotions, I guess.
But so it's there's the line, there's no, I don't think, yeah, it's a very weird, it's a very
It's a weird dilemma.
And as I said, like to assume that you have to be with one person for your entire life, and that's kind of your obligation. It's a very, very weird assumption, and I think let's say some couples that go through infidelity or through this experience, they quite often go to a psychologist. They quite often trying to get help. And there's actually a very good podcast series from Esther Perel. She's a Belgian born, but she lives in America now. She's a psychologist, a relationship psychologist, and she has a podcast on it called "Where Do We Begin?" It's not an
She's
advertisement.
not sponsoring
No,
us.
it's not an advertisement for her. But she in this podcast, basically couples get together. She brings in couples who have experienced some sort of an issue around infidelity or some other challenges in their relationships, and then she unravels the reasons of it, and quite there are quite a lot of like when I after I listened to it, you do get a really different perspective, and you really sort of you destroy the myths of infidelity is bad in 99% of the cases, and you realize that it's more complex than that, and you have to really look at the case by case situation.
I think, I mean, you don't like really fall in love once, you know. It's, I mean, because we've all had crushes, we have many crushes and many love stories, and we have always thought that that love is the one love, but you know, things move on, and as you say, the changes are always there. So
Exactly.
I mean, I so You can always, so as you said, this topic is quite complicated, and it is like infidelity. And I think it also, as you said, it includes the subconscious decisions and your back experiences. And I think also the main part is if you can't follow those three principles of being honest and being transparent, if you have not talked it out, then these things like fights and I don't know, even these extreme steps, they're bound to happen because you're not even. If you cannot be close to the person you think you are the closest to, then you would want to find that thing in another person.
That's true.
So you always miss that. If you miss that small part from someone else, from someone, then you will find it in someone else. And because there are so many people in the world, and I mean, as a human, I don't think we ever see more than we have ever met more than, I don't know, a random number, let's say 10,000 people. It's a big number, but it's also a very small number at the same
Yeah,
time.
that's true. There's so many people in the world that like saying,
No, but you have met, like for example, like the people you have met, and there are like let's say 7 billion people like that you haven't met, you know, that you will never actually know them, how they are. Maybe they are your love of your life, but you will never know because you have never talked to them.
And that is why that concept of, he's the chosen one, he's the one, or she's the one, or all this,
Well, okay, that I think that brings me to the last part of the podcast, which is the spiciest part for me, is the thought experiment part. So this week's thought experiment is, or just the question is falling in love deterministic or natural? Bracket is with a choice.
Well, I don't.
If you
What do you
want
mean by
definition, I can
deterministic?
explain.
Meaning that it's already been determined in the heavens?
Might be. No, I mean, for some people, let's say not
Their
just
love
heaven.
is written in the
Some people
heavens.
just think that they're
They
made
are
for
made
each
for each
other.
other,
Like, no,
yeah.
I mean, some
But made in
people
China.
in that sense that you're both made in China.
You
So
are made for each
there's a
other, but
charger,
in
there's a
China.
phone.
Yes.
No, I mean, the first part is that you are made for each other, that you think that you are made to be
Yes.
together, and there's no answer to it. And then the second part is natural. Like it's with the choice. You have a conscious choice that you decide that I will be with this person because of these reasons and not because of these unknown reasons. You understand?
Come again?
First part,
Yeah.
deterministic, is
Without
without
a
a
choice.
choice. Second part, is it natural? Is it with the
So
choice?
natural, okay, with a choice meaning that you chose that person.
Yeah. You chose it on a
Well, that
rational
feeds into
basis.
the question, of the choice. Like, are our choices really ours, or are they? I don't want to complicate this discussion any more further, but this definitely, the question about choice in any context would be subject to our choice. Are our choices ours, or are they driven by our background and education and culture and our environment and how we were brought up, what we believe in, what we know, and all these kind of things. Having said that, I don't think it's any of these. I think it's such a chaotic thing. It doesn't follow any pattern. Just as if you would, like, what would be a good example of a chaotic element? It just happens. It doesn't work by any predefined rules. You might believe into something one day, like for example, you would say, oh, you know what? I would never date this person, or I would never fall in love or get married to this type of person or a person from this background, and etc. And tomorrow you would actually, because it's not, it doesn't follow any rational rules, any rules pretty much. And I think there are certain things that it follows, like for example, which are maybe more from a biological perspective, and also from a historic perspective, because the idea is that we are animals at the end of the day, and
Yeah,
we
we
have
have to
to reproduce,
reproduce
and so
to
whatever
exist.
increases our chances of healthier reproduction would also be built into our brains. But then we have this free will concept, which again also a separate discussion.
It's a
Yes,
concept.
which then comes in and intervenes. And that's when you might actually disturb that sort of underlying choices in a way that are driven by the nature. So in a way, I think it may be a combination of both. and or maybe just chaotic. What do you think?
Okay. Well, that's a great
Yeah, chaos
answer.
is our friend, man.
And
We have to remember that.
best friend. It's the threesome with us. Anyway, I think the similar, I think a bit similar on your perspective that it's a combination of both. That but I still think there's a rational choice, and I think it's better, and it's always good to make that rational choice. That if you are falling for fall, when I say falling, if you want to love someone, it's your choice. You're making a conscious choice to start loving someone, and it's always a conscious choice that you make to stop it. When I say this, it is because to avoid abusive relationships, because I think when you see
Yeah.
some red flags, it's always good to stop, and that's a rational choice you make.
Okay.
For example, a person can be very nice, beautiful, and caring, but then they have this dark side which nobody knows, but then you discover it later. I think it's all right that you make a rational choice not to love them anymore because of their toxicness, because it will actually help you not to be in misery. Because if you just think it is deterministic that okay, I end up with this person, I have spent so much time with this person, but he or she is a bit toxic. It's okay, I can handle it. I don't think we should make that acceptance of toxicity.
That topic is also I think we have to sort of you would have to define what toxicity would mean in this context.
I
You
mean,
have different levels of
toxicity is
toxicity.
just not being comfortable. It
Yeah,
could
but
be mental
also
abuse. It
yeah, but
could
that
be
also
just.
has certain it's not set in stone. You have like different ranges, and so certain people would be like, okay, I'm happy to endure yeah a
Endure.
certain level because there are some other values that I prioritize, and this person has those values.
Yeah, but I think as you said previously, when you love starts by loving yourself first. So I think all the qualities you're finding in another person, first you will find it in yourself. And then in addition to those, you will just amplify them in the other person. And if that person is not good for you in a mental health way, then I don't think it's good to continue. Then it's a choice you make. And it's perfectly
I
fine
think we
to make
can
that
both
choice.
agree that if that abusiveness or that sort of level of uncomfortableness, let's say, reaches a physical proportions where you get abused physically, then yeah, that's for sure we can agree that that's on the border of that crosses the border of violence and physical abuse. That's for sure. And you would actually go to the government or to the police or call your brother, one of those. But from the other perspective, yeah, you definitely need to love yourself first. And if you cannot endure.
I mean, when I say choice, I mean, it's still natural. I think, and it should be natural that you know who you are loving. There should be an answer to that question. For example, if somebody asks you, why do you love that person? I think if you cannot answer that, then probably it's something else. It's
Yeah,
not
you know
love.
that person, but you know that person at that point in time, or you know that person who has been, you know, before. As I said, we making an assumption that people don't change over time is a really stretched assumption because people will change, and they change. Otherwise, you would also don't. Yeah, I don't know if it's a good idea to also be with someone who never wants to change or progress or become better, and with those changes.
No, yes, of course. Of course, I mean, you have to find your comfort level. I mean,
Yeah.
basically, so you make a choice. I think it's both. So, yeah, I mean, our answers are quite
From a
similar, but
different
they're
yeah,
different,
angle
like
in a
same
way.
as us.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so I think we can go towards concluding remarks. So, it was a very intensive, but it was very
I
heartfelt
would like to
episode.
also conclude with and to finish, I would like to finish with a quote again from a great philosopher and thinker of our time, Rick, from Rick and Morty. And he says, weddings are basically just funerals with cake. And on this note, we would like to thank you for listening.
No, I also have another one. I don't want to leave with that quote. My quote is, life is short, so make your connections
That's a
count.
good one. That's a good
That
one.
is
And
my
it's
quote.
yours. It's not Rick and
Thank you.
Morty or any
Thank
great
you.
philosopher.
No, it's a very
It is
natural.
of a great
I will
philosopher of
copyright
our
it.
time and a thinker, Rahul Punyani.
Dankeschön.
So, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you everyone for listening to us, and
Yep,
we'll see you
see
in
you
the
in the
next
next
one.
one.